It's that time again. You know what I'm talking about. Don't make me spell it out.
He didn't sing with you. I'm surprised.
No. It's usually M.O. He's not here.
Yeah, M.O.'s not doing backups today. So. Oh, yo, welcome to Shot Club. My name is Jezza. This is...
GMTM.
That is...
This is... It's David Solomon. I'm not that nothing. Okay?
And of course...
DJ Bailon. What up, Shot Club Nation? Go Raps.
Yes. And we have our missing M.O.
He's sitting in the back. Right there, that's M.O. the plant.
M.O. the plant? sorry.
M.O. the plant. So yeah.
Let's get the initial shot in.
Let's start this off. What's this to?
Good summer. Summer weather.
Summer weather. That's Ooh. Not bad. I like
that. Strong.
Here, Trace.
I like that.
Start your time up.
So what happened to the last timer? I wasn't here.
Apparently I killed it.
You manhandled that. You the two of them? I see why you guys are close friends. So.
you're partly responsible for that, sir.
I'm portly?
Partly responsible.
You called me portly. I was like, that's true.
You're portly?
Yeah, he called me portly responsible.
You just called him portly.
I said he's partly responsible.
You know the man's sensitive about his size.
I'm gonna get rid of his belly. Like, this belly is going. Hold on. The belly is gonna go soon. Don't worry.
He did say he's the most unhealthy vegetarian.
I am.
He actually is.
As long as it's not meat, I can eat it. So chips.
Beyond Meat?
Pop. Oh, it's not bad.
Have you tried it?
Yeah, Beyond Meat, I don't...
It's not bad, it's not bad.
It's not bad, but what is it?
It's Beyond Meat, bro.
They're not giving us the information we need for this shit.
It's Beyond Meat. Like, they told you
Have you read all the ingredients in your Beyond Meat burger?
No, I know the ingredients. B-E-Y-O-N-D. Beyond.
Anyways, how was your week?
What else do I need? Like,
how was your week, sir?
My week was fine. During the week, just worked, usual shit. Just got back like a few minutes ago from Sudbury, shooting a new video. Oh,
7OG.
Yeah, 7OG.
Wicked.
And this week I got featured in the Sudbury newspaper.
Yes, saw that. About that.
I was about to look like I was about to pull it up right now because it was the last thing I looked up Facebook. But oh yeah, I forgot. Sorry, it's YouTube, not Facebook.
Yeah, that looked dope though.
Well, yeah, no, it was a dope write-up. Truly, like one of the first times I sent out a press release just to people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they snagged on it.
Okay.
It was good.
That's good. That's the most you've ever told us about your week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with the video, let me see what I can tell you about the music video. I learned that fucking Northern Ontario is way bigger than I really thought it was.
What do you mean?
No. It's like, hey, so there's the highway, the 400, right? You go up, and then you can go here to Huntsville, you can go here to Muskoka. When you go here, you know, like, if it's like Brampton, you go on that exit, Williams Park is right there?
Yeah.
Nah, B. You're gonna go off in the Muskoka exit, and then you're gonna drive for another 30 minutes till you hit Muskoka. And then when you're in Muskoka, it's like a dirt road that you're driving like this, winding up and down.
Mm-hmm.
No. Got lost. We're like, what the fuck? 2 hours out the way, came back. Like, we had planned, like, 4 sites, but it wasn't like it was planned, like we knew where we're going, right? Like, we didn't actually
calculate. You guys mapped it out?
Didn't, no. No calculating times or whatever. I'm thinking like 2 hours here, 2 hours here. It's gonna be light. It's gonna be like this. Doom, 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 doom. Up the highway. Fuck side. So I'm going up next weekend again to finish what we didn't do.
God, you're ridiculous.
So that was my week. And how was yours?
It was alright. I went to a strip club and was bored as fuck.
I am that type of guy.
What's that song? How's that go?
I'm that type of guy. That one?
I'm the kind of guy.
There we go.
Which one is it?
No, LL.
Is that like?
No, don't worry about it.
No, I'm trying to say, is it kind or is it type? I'm that,
right? I'm the kind of guy. Yeah.
But the chorus.
Yeah, it's really not that deep, though. So it was cool, though. It was cool.
What about the strip club? Didn't you like?
Yeah. Explain this, please.
The dancers were just not doing it for me. Like,
what did you expect from these dancers?
Yeah,
some sort of rhythm, man. Like some sort of like you know when you see people dancing and they're not really having fun, they're just trying to like show you that they're dancing.
Yeah,
that's what it looked like. Like you go to a party and you're like, okay.
So they're entertaining you?
No, they weren't. I wasn't entertained.
You weren't entertained?
No,
we're not.
Are you not entertained?
He was not.
I was not.
He was not.
I was not. But it was still a cool time. A bunch of friends linked up. We hadn't linked up in a while, so a couple of birthdays we just celebrated. So that was cool.
Outside the strip club, it was fun.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
and that guy.
This guy.
This guy.
That one right there.
Is he even on my hat?
No, not on this one.
I
don't
really see that actually.
But
I was hoping it was on your hat. I was like, you really put it on his hat.
My niece got me hats and she put hashtag this guy on my hat, which probably yeah. She loves me.
She could have put uncle, but you know.
No.
She put hashtag.
If she put uncle, she put Uncle Big Head and I wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah,
that
much. Okay.
That'd be kind of funny. On your hat. Uncle Big
Head. No man, my week was nice, relaxed. You know, I've realized that I'm old. My child's going to high school in September. And
I know the feeling.
He went to Montreal by himself on a school trip. You know that school trip.
Oh, I know. I remember when I was at
school trip, 3 days in Montreal.
I never got to do that.
No?
Seriously?
Granted, I didn't go to high school here. But I think those are important, especially
those trips.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to like learn languages and put them to use.
Yeah. But the first thing he said is like, I speak English, I don't care.
Kind of defeats the purpose, but okay.
Does he speak French at all?
You know, elementary school French classes. That's about it.
So not at all.
No. Okay. The very few far between, like me.
Bylong, how was your week?
Good. Good. Busy, but good.
What'd you do?
Are you Chesa this week?
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Well, okay. Like the week went fine. Work's going, boss, and then. Friday, I tried at a new bar just by my house, got smashed, bought the bartender a bunch of shots, crashed a party on the way back home, to the point where two guys came up to me like, yo, it's a private jam, you gotta get out. But this girl who I met outside was like, yeah, you just tell me with me, but I didn't want to throw her under the bus. So I was like, all right, I was already hammered, so I was like, oh, okay, guys, sure, fair enough. And then that was drinking at Pride with Morgan yesterday.
Okay.
So it was more than just all right?
Yeah, it was.
I know, right? It was bland. It was all right.
It was bland.
There wasn't much that
freaking
I did.
Adventure.
You know, besides get kicked out of a private party, you know.
Oh, that sounds like a regular week for me.
Drink myself under the table at a bar, you know.
Bought the owner some drinks.
Bought the owner and bartender some drinks after I tried to pick her up, you know. Yeah.
What's going on in the city, other than the fact that we're champions?
Let's talk about this guy in his new scarf.
My permanent scarf for the rest of the season, bro. Unless I get another flag.
Hold on, would you say that again? This is your permanent scarf for the rest of the season?
Unless I get another flag.
Hold on, which season?
This season.
He's been wearing different scarves.
Raptor season?
Bro. No. Shot club season.
Oh.
Can you stop being ignorant?
It could have been summer season.
I'm not talking season. I'm not talking to you, bro. Can you stop?
The show, you kind of have to talk to me.
But no, no new scarves unless I get a new flag.
This whole show, the whole plan was the show to have friends. Like, you guys have to talk to me now. We're on camera. Right, bud?
Why would you admit that on camera?
Hey. Don't call me bud, by the way.
I didn't call you buddy.
Don't call me bud, by the
way. I called you bud. Hey, bud.
Okay? I still feel Rudy was really disrespectful by calling him bud. Okay? She knew what she was saying.
Who was that?
Rudy.
He knew what he was
and
doing.
And Bud.
Oh.
She knew what she was saying. And the way she said Bud, she knew what she was talking about. Rudy.
You're talking about children. You can't get in this conversation.
Bro, we've been... I'm Jamaican. I'm sorry.
Bill Cosby show?
I'm Jamaican. It's been called that since I was a youth. So...
Never heard Bud.
You want to be rude? Just throw those short forms in there. The jab, and then you say your mom or dad, like, I didn't say it, I just called him butt. What's the problem?
So okay. The parade.
I was gonna say, how much Raptors gear do you have that you said you can last the whole season?
A lot.
It's gonna be fun. It's kind of like when I was wearing the wrestling shirts. It didn't last the whole season.
Yeah,
I got
but
to
you,
like 12.
You had a nice streak going with that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I said, this is my permanent scarf, this one. Until I get another Raptors flag. Give me that championship flag. Give me that one.
I didn't say I'm going to get you what you wanted. I said I'm going to get you what you wanted. Calm down.
Anyone out there, give me a championship Raptors flag, please.
Oh, yeah.
Don't keep it for yourself.
Were you at the parade?
Yeah.
Where? Where were you actually located in this parade? And this parade was a fucking sea of fucking
It was
people.
A zoo, yeah. Yes. And I was, thank God I left early, right where that fuckboy pulled the trigger.
Mm. So that was in Nathan Phillips Square itself.
Yeah.
That's, so you started there? Did you actually follow the parade at all? Or did you start?
No, just go straight there. We started there. I wish we followed the parade. Would have been more fun for the family. But we started in Nathan Phillips. As soon as you got out of the subway, man, it was a zoo.
Yeah.
As soon as you got out of the subway, it's crazy. Like, anyone who was there, like, honestly,
it was like a good zoo.
It was
like a lot of people, but it was just a good
vibe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy. Like, ambulance pulled up for a call somewhere near Richmond as we were walking in. And as soon as the EMS team left with the stretcher down the street, everyone crowded the on top of the EMS, like on top of the ambulance, just so they could see more, because, you know, they can't see shit. People are sitting on top of bus sheds.
Yeah.
Hey! People all over the place, bro. It's crazy.
That might have been where we were at, because there was one point we walked by someone and a lady was calling for an ambulance. Yeah, I think it was by Richmond.
Yeah.
So it might have been the same time.
I'll take a shot.
Will you?
Just a little bit, you know?
What's this to?
Parade day, man.
Parade day? Well, there's a parade going on today, too. Shout out to Rooks. Happy Pride.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Sorry.
Double shot, loser.
Get him done.
Yeah, shit. Cheers.
What this one is.
It's a double Chesa. That's a double Chesa?
Yeah, double
Chesa. Alright. Alright. To the parade.
Here we go! Goddamn. Yo.
I should have got bison grass.
That is a tough shot.
Technical difficulties. We had no microphone sound, so all our amazing jokes you missed.
All the amazing
that
fun.
All your own faults. So, here you go.
Set that again. So we have what? We have our guest.
Yep.
We can.
Yes. Another stellar guest.
Go ahead. Intro.
Someone who's not.
That's me.
Someone who's usually on the other side of the interview.
On the other side, yeah.
Now gets to have somebody come up to him and see if they can interview him like this, maybe. Get a little closer and find out what's going on with him and his life. That was my best impersonation. I can't do it better than
the best
man.
One?
That's the best one I could
You're
do.
You're not going to try and get a hug?
No.
Try and get a hug.
David wants
try and get a hug. Try and get a hug.
David wants
try and get a hug.
Hug.
No, try and get a hug from
me. I'm not hugging you guys.
Try to get a hug from me.
I don't want a hug from you. Let's bring out our guest.
Is this what he's all about? Just hugs?
Bro!
Real faces?
He's all about the love, bro!
Let's bring out our guest, the one and only Cabby.
That's me. What's up, fellas? Thank you very much.
What's going on?
I'm wonderful. Did we reset the timer?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, we're on the way to the next.
To the next show.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you all prepared.
Yeah. I was born for this moment. I'm excited. How are you, sir? Wait, Morgan, did you mean Morgan Riley or a friend named Morgan?
A friend named Morgan.
A dude or a girl?
It's a dude.
A dude.
Yeah. A dude, oh, okay.
Because
yeah. Morgan Riley's at that parade.
We're in his house.
Oh, that's M.O.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yo, that takes guts to like just roll up to a party where you know nobody and you're just chopping a girl outside.
Yeah.
And then you go in because you know none of the dynamics. You don't know who she came with.
Yeah.
Who might feel some type of way. Like, yeah. I respect the move. I mean, depending on the neighborhood, you feel a little bit more emboldened to make that move.
Yeah, yeah. This gentleman, when he gets a few shots in him, he's emboldened.
Yeah.
Is this neighborhood?
Cabbagetown.
Cabbagetown? Okay. Well, glad that you're still with us.
Yes.
So how have you been, man?
Wonderful. So anyway, you guys were talking about the parade. You were in Nathan Phillips Square?
I was in Nathan Phillips Square.
And where were you for the parade?
I was.
Did you watch on TV or were you?
No,
were you
we were there? At Queen Anne University.
Yeah.
Well, how much later is later? Like, have the buses passed where you guys were yet?
No.
No, before, we got there, they were pulling up right there.
Just before they were
pulling Queen up. Queen University. So that was around, like, 2:30-ish?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I was on the bus. I got on bus four. There were five buses. And we got on at the OVO Performance Center. So the players arrived there at 9. And then the bus procession was going to start at 10. So we got on bus four at around 9:40. And the buses started moving at 9:50. So, you know, at the C&E grounds, just to get to the Princess Elizabeth Gate is maybe, I don't know, 500 meters. Yeah. That took an hour. Like, there were so many people, just like BMO Field, and just like throng of people, like waiting for the parade. The parade started once you went underneath the arch, and then along Lakeshore, and then you continue your way east, and then we made a left up University. But it was our broadcast, the TSN broadcast was supposed to start at 10, and then end at 12:30.
Yeah.
I don't even think we made a left onto University by 12. It was moving so slowly because there were, felt like 2 million people. Yeah. And I was very fortunate to be on the bus so I could just see endless people to my left, endless people to my right, endless people behind me and in front. And the players were just like stymied. They just had never experienced anything like that before. And I vaguely remember when the Toronto Blue Jays won back-to-back titles in 92 and 93. And I remember seeing photos in the Toronto Star, and I vaguely remember seeing any footage on TV. Maybe I did on the news or that night, but I was probably just playing Super Nintendo.
There's like no drones to really
fly.
Fair, the aerials were like your helicopter, your traffic helicopters. Yeah. But now you could just, there's like time lapses now. You could see this like the crowds filling in on like University, which was open in the morning.
It's crazy. Like, it's all you see is like, it's like ants.
Ants,
it's like,
the red ants.
And all they just covered the street. Yeah. And University is huge.
Yeah.
It took, that whole one side was gone.
University is huge.
Where the parade was going down.
We were talking to a friend of ours about how ill-prepared the city was.
Yeah, they planned it in like 3 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they weren't prepared for that many people.
No. It was really emblematic of the growth of basketball and just how much, like, this team represents what Canada likes to project itself as.
Yeah. Right.
A diverse nation. And it is diverse, but that real multiculturalism exists here in Toronto. You guys have toured all over the country, so you see it. Like, outside of the GTA, there's a little sprinkling of ethnicities around. But during that parade, and I know the guys, it affected them, I was just seeing so many different faces and so many different age groups and classes at the parade, and one part that was kind of was very succinct to a certain type of people being at this parade is like when Rob Ford was announced at Nathan Phillips Square. God bless the dead. But Doug Ford, and everybody resoundingly booed him.
Yeah.
Those weren't Doug Ford's people. No. Like the white collar CEOs and executives. No, these were everybody else. These are like the main fabric of Toronto. The people that waited for hours, got there like 8 or the night before to cheer
and not
on
even
this
eight.
Team.
They, 6 o'clock, one of our boys was down there. He took a picture. 6 o'clock and it was packed.
A.M.
6 a.m. It was packed. And he goes, y'all trying to be down here for 9? Right? Good luck.
Right.
Like, by 9 o'clock, that square was rammed. There's nowhere to go.
And I was in comparison, in 2017 TFC won its the MLS Cup, and it was a cool parade. I mean, it went from Scotiabank Arena to Nathan Phillips Square, and for a soccer team, they had a pretty good turnout. Granted, it was like December, so it was really cold.
Right.
But they had probably 100,000, maybe 80,000, 100,000 people, like anywhere from like 5 to 10 deep on each side of the buses. But the buses can move consistently.
Right.
This thing with the Raptors,
nothing.
5 buses, 30 cars. It was moving at a
jumping. In, I heard people were jumping in front of the bus just to take like selfies with the bus type thing.
That was hard to do. So every bus had a line of police officers on bicycles as a measure of separating the masses from the buses. And in lieu of barricades, everybody had bicycles. So it was hard to actually penetrate that line of
protection. And that's crazy because I think if they had even a few key barricades along the route, it would have moved a bit smoother.
Oh, probably, for sure. Yeah, I agree.
In lieu of, like, the police is cool, right, to separate. Because the way the crowd came in is crazy. But they also didn't have enough police ahead of the parade.
Yeah, to clear people out. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's why we were stopped at times for like 20-30 minutes. Sorry to cut you off there.
That's right. Because I'm looking at it. I'm also looking at the screen. I'm like, no, they ain't coming anywhere. I call my son's mom because she's watching it live. I'm like, where are they? She's like, bro, they haven't even hit York yet.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope.
I was on a bus with OG Anunoby, Patrick McCaw, and Pascal Siakam, who was living his best life.
Yeah.
And so they're... right? I told that dude after they beat the Bucks, they were celebrating Norm Powell's birthday at a spot in town. And I said to Pascal, I was like, yo, you're about to drop 30 points in a finals game. Mm. And game one, dropped 30 points.
Yeah.
14 for 17 was lights out. People were like, what? Yeah. It was the dude couldn't miss.
Yeah.
I was so excited for him. But so there were like, I think 12 big like industrial sized cases of beer. And then they had like boxes of champagne, 8 to 10 to 12 boxes of champagne. So people were just spraying, like, I don't think whoever organized it thought they were going to go through all that alcohol because they didn't think the parade was going to be 5.5 hours. Yeah. We left at 10. We got to Nathan Phillips Square at 3:30.
Yeah.
And it was a 5-kilometer route.
Yeah.
And it took forever, but people were so hyped. And I'm sure the people watching were drinking. Like, nobody did it. Like, it felt like the entire province had descended on Toronto to take this in.
Nobody, like Kyle said on his Instagram, nobody went to work today.
Oh, yeah, no. Imagine if you were at work, you were just watching.
Imagine if they had it on
a stream.
Imagine if they had it on Sunday, like when Mayor Tory initially announced it.
Right.
It's supposed to be on Sunday.
Father's Day, right?
Yeah. Imagine if it happened on Sunday.
That would have been wicked. It would have been crazier.
Ooh. The whole city. All the GTA would have been down there.
Yeah.
Man, even after game five, when Draymond Green gets his finger on the ball as Kyle's shooting that corner, Fred VanVleet finds him in the corner. Yeah. Last second, hey! To the Raptors.
Oh, that was quick.
hold on. Oh, the wheel of misfortune.
Spin again. Have a shot.
It's that interactive element that people really like to tune in for.
The guy's deep breathing.
He's regretting buying
this. He's regretting buying this. Exactly what he's doing.
Cheers to
the Raptors.
To the Raptors.
Cheers. And Jedi Ujiri.
Here we go. Mm.
Okay,
double tap that, please.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, Jedi Ujiri. So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Masai's gone in 2 years. Or is he gone now?
Oh, jeez. I hate making predictions, so I won't make them. Because I'm always wrong. But if he were to leave now, this would be the best time. Because he delivered when nobody thought that Toronto would deliver. He said it to be... Like, people have to start being proud of the city now. Like, this is a destination. He said in a press conference around the time that... they traded for Kawhi.
Yeah.
And he's been putting this energy out there in the ether, and finally, because he's so brilliant, just made great moves, you know.
Yeah.
A move that, like, did we mention Norm Powell? But just trading Gravis Vasquez, sending him to Milwaukee for a pick, which ended up being Norm Powell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, things like that. And obviously, we fleeced, not we, but the Masai has like fleeced every team that he's traded with. The Raptors have won every trade. And then having the vision or having the commitment, like, okay, Dwayne Casey, 59 wins, just won Coach of the Year, but I've gone as far. I just know I've gone as far as this group can take me as presently constituted. And, you know, DeMar was a huge piece of the Raptors, building the Raptors, huge piece of what the Raptors became so that they were one piece away. Like, built the skyscraper to that level, and then we needed that penthouse.
Yeah.
And Kawhi Leonard was the penthouse.
Yeah. And we can't discount what DeMar did.
No.
No, previously, no. His jersey will be retired as well. Yeah.
I've said that, you know, after losing the second year in a row to Cleveland, like, we just needed one more piece. Along with that team, if we could keep DeMar and add another piece, right, this team's unstoppable. But the fact that he was able to replace one of the key pieces with this guy.
Yeah. Someone who
that nobody knew how he was going to perform.
Yeah. Or if he was going to perform. You know, we didn't know if
he was going to play. My suspicions was, okay, if Kawhi's playing, Kyle might be too butthurt to play and might try to sabotage the season, right? His friends left, right? So maybe he won't play properly, right? Or maybe Kawhi won't play properly. But the fact that these two, I see another like kind of best friend situation there, played that well together. It's crazy.
You know, Kyle had less pressure on him to perform because Kawhi on the court was such an alpha. And it wasn't just like throw it to Kawhi in that high post, that elbow where DeMar really liked to operate. He loved that mid-range game. He's, you know, big fan of Kobe, and Kobe had so much success with the mid-range. Kawhi could get the ball anywhere, and he was very efficient with his moves. From times, he would, you know, he would dribble at the arc or whatever, or beyond the arc. But he wasn't wasting a lot of movement. No. Also, his body was hurting. He was battling injury, so he probably couldn't afford to expend additional energy, even though he was carrying the offensive load for the other, you know, other 11 guys, but other seven guys who played consistent minutes throughout the playoffs. And then a big credit to Marc Gasol as well. You trade a young asset in JV, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and you get Marc Gasol, who was, you know, the first round so crucial in neutralizing Nikola Vucevic, played some pretty good minutes against Philadelphia. But you have Kawhi was guarding Joel Embiid. We sent him crying.
Yep.
Shouldn't say we. Kawhi did.
Sent him crying. Yeah, literally sent him crying.
Then with Thor's hammer, with his left, he murdered the Greek god in Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
Also guarded Giannis Antetokounmpo. So he's guarding two unicorns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those two guys, if they were playing in the mid-90s, there's nobody at the time, Hakeem, Patrick Ewing, none of those guys could stop these two dudes because their footwork and their perimeter game were so strong. Yeah. And then you have the dynasty. I mean, Kawhi's a dynasty killer. Miami Heat in 2014, and then now the Golden State Warriors in 2019. Yep. This dude is unbelievable.
Killer.
And we know nothing about him. He's a mystery. He doesn't talk.
What we do know is he's a fun guy.
But he actually has displayed that.
Yeah. When he feels like it, he'll give you charisma. Like at the speech at the end where it's ha, ha.
Right.
It's like nobody was expecting
that. We unfairly crushed. We murdered him, though. Unfairly. Like, the introductory press conference.
First of all, there's nothing unfair about that. That laugh is hilarious.
That is. It will always be
funny. We crushed him.
We crushed him.
The best thing about that laugh is when they edited it for the NBA.
On NBC. Theme song. Yeah, that was brilliant. That was brilliant.
It's been used so many times in memes and whatnot.
I know, but why are we killing the guy that you can't? How about you laugh?
But it's funny. If it wasn't naturally funny, then
we don't know if he's self-conscious about the laugh.
It's true.
Because I think that's the first time we heard it.
It's possible, yeah.
That's why he's like he just always like his sound bites are very short.
Yeah.
Or he starts to, like I said, you know, I'm just playing basketball. Like, he's almost kind of like a robot.
Yeah.
I never got the privilege to interview Kawhi, but I would have searched his body for the USB key where he recharges when he lays down on a bed of batteries from Elon Musk.
Have you even seen I'm sure you've seen it, the meme where his face turns and he has that Joker smile.
It's like the super slow mo. Yeah,
even that is creepy as fuck, though.
But he didn't. But it slowed down super slow mo, and he probably just saw something that made him smile, and then
probably saw his girl in the crowd.
Maybe
like, there's my little girl.
Maybe so simple,
there's my daughter. Look at that.
Yeah.
Now you work in the media.
Yes.
How do you feel about the American media giving all these excuses to Golden State, saying, "Oh, everybody's injured. That's why."
Did they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like
I heard a lot of their. It's a lot of talking is either it's based off the injuries. Why it's Toronto won?
Was it actually?
They're,
though?
They're pretty much saying we didn't win. Golden State lost.
There's an asterisk on the win.
Yeah.
Well, there's an asterisk on Golden State's first win in 2015 because Kelly Olynyk pulled out Kevin Love's separated his shoulder in the second round, and then Kyrie Irving like blew out his knee, but he got injured or his ankle or something, so he was unavailable after game one. So it was LeBron, Matthew Dellavedova, friggin' Timothy Mozgov. Why LeBron was averaging like 42, like almost a triple double with like 35 or 40 points, and Iguodala gets NBA Finals MVP by averaging like 15 or 16. But the guy he was guarding still dropped 40 points a game. Like, how are you getting the friggin' MVP of that series?
Yeah.
So if there's an asterisk on the Toronto Raptors, which I disagree, 2019 NBA Finals Championship, then there's an asterisk on the 2015 title and an asterisk on the 2016 title as well.
I told a bunch of guys who were saying this on Instagram, like, listen, injuries have brought us to this point. Because if Kawhi wasn't injured in 2015 from them stepping on him in Golden State, who reacted reacted extremely horrible.
Yeah, they cheered too.
His injury, right? They would not have had their first championship. Golden State would have been dismantled that year because Golden State would have lost 2 years in a row to San Antonio in the Western Finals, and they would have had to figure out how to get around Kawhi Leonard, and they would have dismantled that team. There would have been no Golden State Warriors.
Maybe, yeah. And Fred Van Vliet said yesterday at this, which one's mine? This one's mine?
Yeah.
Said at an event yesterday at Danny Green's podcast, there was a live podcast here. He said, what are we supposed to do? Feel bad for Golden State and have them win? Because injuries are part of
the game.
Any competition.
And everybody's banged up at the end of the year.
Right. I mean, Kawhi, like he mentioned in an interview with Rachel Nichols, like, he goes, my knee was injured, and like he let one slip because he doesn't traditionally say anything about his body. He says, if I'm good enough to play, or if I'm healthy enough to play, I'm gonna play.
Yeah.
But we saw him limping up like both legs one time. He came down on a dunk. We're like, oh. And then Kyle Lowry against Philadelphia, he popped his thumb back in. Danny Green was wearing thumb tape. Fred VanVleet was wearing thumb tape. Ibaka gets a cut in the forehead. Yep. Fred gets an elbow to the face. He said he just got his teeth. He just got his teeth fixed. Shout out to Nas. But and I'm sure on their side, other than Klay Thompson, hyperextending his hamstring, and Iguodala. Then obviously, Iguodala's, his knees are bad. His back is bad. Yeah. Like everybody was bad. Not to the extent where guys have season-ending or year-long injuries like Kevin Durant and now Klay Thompson. It's unfortunate if people want to position it like, oh, there's an asterisk on that championship, but man, Cleveland. Hey!
It sounded a little rushed. That one sounded.
No,
it's there. Was it 10?
It's there?
It's 10? Yeah, it's 10. First day shot, too.
To Masai Ujiri, the architect, the general, the brilliant. Have a shot.
Have a shot.
He doesn't want to.
Damn. Forgot what show he's on.
He's like, why do I agree to this?
Be careful what you ask for.
Why do I do this? To Masai.
To Masai. Cheers.
Here we go.
Mm. Why the double tap?
Show's professionalism.
Sorry. It's true.
Only true professionals double tap again.
So did you end up making it to the parade or no?
Because
you were saying you're on the phone.
I was at the square, and then when I found out where they were, and I was looking at the time.
Nathan Phillips Square or
Dress Nathan Phillips Square. And when I'm looking at the time, I'm like, I got a five-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old. My son's turning 14. They're all with
they're all
me.
There right
bro,
there.
You hate condoms.
No, I was like, my dude.
He still hates condoms.
I do, but only have one. I only have one child.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, so my brother's daughters, 5 and 6, and then my son's sister, 8, my son, my...
They were all with you?
All with me.
Oh, okay, I'm so that's harder to maneuver.
I'm like, I can't.
Plus, there's so many people that would be like so uncomfortable for kids at a certain time. Like, can we go? Because they can't see anything. They're just looking up into bodies.
So we're lifting them up, and it's like there's no one, there's nothing happening. Yeah, nothing to look they're at, getting frustrated.
There should have been like performers in some way.
They had dancers and whatever, like the raptor.
Were they with the cars in between the cars?
No. So at the square.
Oh, in the square.
They had the Raptors dancing.
They were waiting so long
and doing whatever.
I don't think there was a lot of entertainment. No.
After like they pretty much had it scheduled till 12:30 when they're supposed to arrive.
Right.
So they're dancing, they're doing their things, whatever, and then at 12:30, it just went silent.
See, they don't plan. Right? They don't plan the event like your auntie does. Your auntie says, "This is when it starts." But you know it's not starting for another 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
Bro.
They didn't plan it like
that. That's a huge delay though. Like you can't anticipate that.
No,
like, there's no anticipating of that. Right? So it's like how many times are they gonna go around and do the same routine over and over again?
Yeah.
If they did have people like Cardinal or somebody on stage, they would have been able to kind of circumvent
Hype up the crowd.
Right.
Yeah. Actually. Let's get into your background.
Sure.
How did you get into it?
That's what I wanted to
do. I was a student at Ryerson. I was taking radio and TV. Okay. And then in my second year, a guy at school was like, hey, they're looking for interns at the Score Television Network, at the time it was called Headline Sports, and then became the Score in like 2001 or 2002. Mm. So they just needed bodies. And myself and my friend Adnan Virk, who was at ESPN for 9 years, he's now at DAZN, hosting a baseball show and doing boxing. We gave him our resumes, and then a week later we had a meeting with this guy named John Melville. He's like, yeah, come be interns. Like, we love people who want to work for free. Yeah. So that was our entry point into television, and then we were just writing scripts for the host. So when a host does a nightly highlight show,
okay,
they might be like, oh yeah, the Detroit Tigers versus the Toronto Blue Jays. In the third inning, at the time I was there, it was like Carlos Delgado hits a 3-run home run to right field, his 7th. 4-1 Blue Jays in the third. So we'd write that down, and then the announcer could add their own flavor. Like Tim McAuliffe, Sid Sixero, they always had nicknames, and Tim would like to throw patois in his highlights, and he was amazing. Or he is amazing. They're still together. They work at Sports Center now. Right.
Yeah.
So that's how it started. And then 3 years into it, I felt more confident, and I pitched an idea with the help of a couple of hosts to go be a man on the street. So just go out there and just ask sports questions. And at the time, I believe Rick Mercer on CBC was doing a segment called Talking to Americans, where he would go to border towns along the Canada-American border, and then he would just ask Americans trivia about Canada. And it would be hilarious for us, because nobody knows anything about Canada.
Yeah.
So that's where the joke would come in. And then on BET, there was a guy named Hits from the Streets.
Hits from the Street, yes.
So Al Shearer, Al was his name, he would go around to like college campuses, and he would go around the streets of New York, and he would interview people. And sometimes he would make fun of people. And I didn't want to I prefer to make fun of myself, because I'm an easier target than some stranger who's giving me 2 or 3 minutes of their time.
Right,
and I don't want to just start carving up the person. So I would just go out, ask really dumb sports questions. And that's kind of how it started.
Nice.
That was in the summer of 2001. And I would go to Humber College. I'd go to York. I'd go to U of T. Because there were kids literally my own age. And there were a lot of kids, so I could find people to interview. And the crappy thing was, like, sometimes I would be on like the Danforth, or I'd be Bloor West or Hyde Park, and then somebody would be like, no thanks. So I would get rejected a lot. You know, this is a big doughy-faced, chubby dude approaching, hey, can I ask you a few sports questions? People are like, I don't know. It's a little bit unnerving when some chubby bastard comes up to you, you know, with a guy with a camera or whatever. So that I've definitely gotten used to a lot of rejection, is what I'm saying.
Now, we do something like that. We actually did a couple of interviews
at the parade.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the Raptors parade. Yeah, oh, nice.
So we do stuff like that.
How were the responses?
It was all right.
Have you edited? Have you guys posted it yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
But we've done other events that have gotten a little bit better.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips as far as approaching people?
I usually go approach characters that are a little more eccentric or a little more colorful, because you would hope that whatever they're wearing matches their personality.
Right.
And then I just approach them sort of like, hey guys, my name's Cabby. I do a little sports show. Can I ask you a few questions for my sports show or for my, you know, for my podcast or whatever? And then people are like, oh, no thanks. Or what are you going to ask me? I'm like, well, I'm going to start with, you know, something like, how many jerseys do you own? Or if you're going to buy a Raptors jersey tomorrow, which one would you buy? Or which one would you buy for your mom or for your dad?
Yeah.
As a gift, and you know, just go from there. But that's kind of but I wouldn't go right away with the camera, because that might be. But you know what? I started in 2001, so
you had the big people cameras. Weren't.
Yeah, it was a big camera, and people just weren't used to being recorded all the time. Now everybody records. They make their own content.
Yeah.
Whether they publish it or not, but so people are just used to cameras all the time. So it might be easier, or it might be more difficult. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't done it in a while, but. Good luck if you do venture out and do another one. Maybe the first game of the season.
We did a few. We did
Carabana.
Carabana was
Carabana
the first
was
one.
Hilarious.
See, with us, our people love being on camera.
Yeah, that too.
So then you're just gonna have random people jump in and like hold on to your mic, like, no, Bridget, like Bridget, hold on.
There were
just grabbing
you. Yeah, there were people to
just want to grab the mic, right? Like, just we relax.
It's true.
Like, we gotta hit
Comic Con type one. We did that.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
A lot of colorful characters.
Yeah. All in their costumes. So they're already
cosplays,
jumping to characters or whoever they are.
Amazing.
So it was, and Wu-Tang, when the Wu-Tang show was down at Rebel, we went up there. We went there. Talked to
how many of the, I've only seen episode one of Mikes and Men. Have you guys seen that?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's on either Showtime or HBO, but it's on demand.
Oh yeah, Wu-Tang.
It goes deeper than I thought it was gonna go. Yeah, and that, I think it's four episodes. You know, I need to finish that one.
I gotta start with watching that. We had Maestro tell us a few stories.
Yes. Oh, cool.
About his interaction with Wu-Tang, like when he jumped in a van and
they were doing the promo.
They were doing
tour.
The promo tour. Soon as GZA jumped in, whoever was driving got out because GZA runs that ship and he was driving that
always.
And he remembers like when they're playing the interludes.
You know that car.
They're doing it in the car.
And that's where it started. And then it translated into the thing.
Yeah. Wow.
He said they had the box of t-shirts for the first time. Like the actual Wu-Tang
first time
shirts.
He saw the logo. Wow.
They opened the box. Like he was there for that.
Oh,
so
wow. That's cool.
He told some really dope stories.
Yeah. See, he must have popped with Search Without the Retson right around the time that 36 Chambers was about to come out. Cause Search Without the that was the one I think he was on the track with, I wanna say, was it AZ? There was someone from New York co-signed him where he appeared on a track together. Right. And it wasn't, you know, Backbone Slide or Drop the Needle. It was after that.
Right, because we even believed that. I think that was the time that it was like he was signed to a New York label and he moved to New York. Those were the rumors.
Yeah.
And everybody was just like, oh, why is he leaving Canada?
Yeah.
Right.
But that's where you have to go to get co-signed. Oh, we know day. That. Yeah, to this day.
Now, so, I have a question.
Yes, please.
I did a bit of research.
Okay.
And,
Came you know,
I have my sources. I was told to ask about News Pit 2.
Oh, wow. Okay, I don't know who you know, but obviously you know someone who I worked with who was at the score.
I got my sources, man.
News Pit 2.
Okay, so News Pit 2 was a very small part of the office where there were like 16 producers and on-air guys. It was almost like a frat house in a way. It wasn't much bigger than this room, and there were like 12 desks. A couple guys had to share a desk. But it was the most fun, and everybody would get there around 4 or 5 o'clock because the highlight shows were at night, and the games happened at night. And then when I came on the score tonight with Tim and Sid, it's usually like Fridays, I would air an episode of Cabin in the Street, but I would be editing all week.
Yeah.
But I was editing at night, so from like 5 to 7, we would just be telling stories, and every time my man Dean and I came back from the road, we're like, all right, let's tell our road. So we went to St. John's, Newfoundland, or we went to Vancouver, or went to Whistler, or we went to Winnipeg, and we'd have some silly stories. But everybody was, and then you know, they'd have their own. But it was we were such an underdog. And Tim and I speak often. Tim Calf and I speak often about how we won't ever have that work environment again. First of all, everybody's between like 20 and 30, so we're all young. We're all in like everybody's pool.
Right.
We were huge like stats nerds, but we were just our network didn't have the budgets that like TSN had, because TSN was established in 1984 and the score opened its doors in 1997. And then there was sports that had CTV and Rogers money, and we were just a small shop. So we could try a lot of different things. Like I was out there with t-shirts, baseball cap.
Hey!
T-shirts and baseball caps.
Yeah.
Doing interviews and such. And I didn't look like any other reporter, certainly covering hockey. Once I walked in that room, unless P.K. Subban or Wayne Simmons or Jerome McGinley or Kevin Weeks or Mike Greer were in that room, I was often the only person that looked like me in that room.
Wow.
What do we got here, my G?
Double shot.
This game's rigged.
It is. So News Pit 2 was the most fun. Like, we would... I don't know if I have a couple of like old videos and like old hard drives. I just randomly bring a camera to work. Just like one of those, like a point and click, like a Canon, you know, whatever. And, you know, the video quality would be like 240 by 300, like the smallest video files. But it was, I don't know who you know, but like News Pit 2 was a lot. And whoever is from, you know, that probably had a desk in News Pit 2 and I would think back on that time as fondly as I'm thinking back on that time. Okay. To News Pit 2.
News Pit 2.
To News Pit 2.
Cheers, my gents.
Cheers, my brother. Cheers. Now.
Here we go.
We're talking about this a little bit off air. cake in the face.
Oh my goodness.
Vaseline to the face. Champagne, champagne over the head.
Yeah. Strangled by Kobe.
Yeah, I've been headlocked by Kobe. Yeah. I had a snake recently. I was in Orlando with Danny Green.
I think I did see.
And that's my biggest fear of snakes. And I had to like conquer it and not just be a punk and punk out. But actually, I actually wanted to have like venomous snakes on us. So even more. And so like if a snake bit me in the face, it's
you
a great.
You skydiving before?
Huh?
You skydive?
I've skydove twice. Okay. Exhilarating.
Because you're like the venomous. Those are the ones I want. What? No.
But just for the bit, if there wasn't a camera recording, I'd be like, no, I don't want to have a freaking king cobra flail at someone and then pounce. Like, no, I don't want any of that. But for the bit, if I get bit in the face, it would be a funny bit. I mean, I would have to get hospitalized, but it would be a funny bit. I would do it for the bit. So yeah, I've had like the weirdest things. Like so, you know, cake with DeMar and Kyle mushed a cake in my face. Mike Tyson,
one was hilarious. Have you seen it?
The baddest man on earth for a period of time. But I had to convince him for like 5 minutes. Like, oh, I just want to feel what it's like to be a fighter. Yeah. And why do you guys put Vaseline in his face? You go, so the punches slide off.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I don't know anything about this Vaseline. I'm like, no, I just bought it from Ralph's, like just down the street from the house. And we were in his backyard and finally convinced him. And he put a lot, he put some behind my ears. It's like Mike, because he's bipolar, and I have some friends of mine have interviewed him before, and actually just was talking to a dude that runs the...
Is the one who got cussed up on Breakfast TV?
No, Nathan, no. I blame him for that.
Nathan, I blame him.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, my dude.
Do you think... Cause
I was like, well, for this one, I jumped right in the middle of your story.
I was like, come on, I mean...
No,
like,
not that one, I mean...
You don't have... Oh, the word about Vaseline? So, I was just talking to a friend of mine who runs the label Roots of Fight, and he's known Mike for 10 years. And he when he goes, he doesn't like sometimes he'll Mike will address him as Mr. or whatever, and sometimes like what's up, brother, and sometimes they're just like you won't even look at him, so you don't know which Mike Tyson you're gonna get. So fortunately for me, he was pretty chill that day, and he's very introspective. And also a mix of playful as he's rubbing Vaseline on my face and my eyes by my ears.
Oh my,
it was, I've had some cool moments. And the champagne shower, geez, I can't believe I said that. But like Normie, when Norm Powell just was, he got, someone just passed him a bottle of champagne and that actually burns your eye. And I was like, oh no, I'm like, Normie, I didn't deserve this. Why did you do this to me, Normie? Why did you do this? And he was like, just because of all those annoying interviews. Yeah. I deserve it, but I didn't, in the moment, didn't realize why I deserve it.
Well, you're a stats guy. At what point did they start giving guys goggles? What time is this? Because they weren't doing that early.
Right. So the first time I saw it was when the Boston Red Sox won in 2004. They swept the St. Louis Cardinals. Pedro Martinez, Johnny Damon, Big Poppy, obviously. Manny Ramirez won MVP of that World Series. Pedro Martinez was the first, and they were like Michael Phelps, like Speedo swimming goggles.
Yes. Yeah.
So 4 years later, when I started covering the Stanley Cup Final, I went into the Detroit Red Wings locker room with a poncho, and like I went with swimming. Like I even had a snorkel, and like one of the players put like champagne down my snorkel. So I'm like, I'm gonna go big with it. So then after that, then they went with like the skiing goggles.
So you're gonna say that you're the inspiration?
No, Pedro Martinez. the Hall of Famer in 2004 had the swimming goggles.
No, but he had the swimming goggles. But if you didn't, do you think if you didn't go in all decked out?
Well, no. They probably would have eventually gotten to bigger goggles. But yeah. I maybe somebody... I mean, this is 2008, so... I mean, YouTube existed, so maybe something got shown on YouTube or posted on YouTube back then. Like, who's this reporter with a yellow poncho? Even peacocking even more than I normally do. And then the next year, I wore a red one, and Malkin sprayed me in the dressing room with... champagne. And after that year, they're like, reporters cannot go in the dressing room anymore after the Stanley Cup trophies awarded.
So you're just setting all types of
trouble. No, I was just getting in trouble. Yeah, I was getting in trouble. And in 2010, one of the players who I became close with, he's like, Cabby, come in the room. So one of the NHL guys is like, all right, well, you're going in with a player. So then I went in with, you guys, you remember flip cams?
Yeah.
Before like the iPhone just murdered that whole business. Yeah. I went in with like a flip cam, which were a great little piece of technology, like $200 and USB right into your laptop. But I went in with a flip cam, and I had guys shave my beard in the
Did you dress up here?
I had, yeah, and my face was even fatter back then. I was just a big, I just looked like a Barba Papa. But that's probably too early for you. Okay, I just looked like you know when Rampage Jackson just looks bloated?
Yeah.
He's got a round face, like fat, rounder than that. Yeah, that's what I had.
Wow, so did you, when you took that yellow poncho and those goggles, did you